In the meantime, would you just greet quickly the ones to the left and your right and say hello to them and tell them that Jesus loves them and you love them? Good to have you. Thank you, worship team. Well, we want to introduce to you Marcus and Adele, those who don't know you. They have the privilege of leading Cornerstone Church. We have a long friendship and relationship with them. I don't know how many years it is, but we're getting gray together. Marcus, not so much, eh? But it's really great to have you as a couple with us. And we really see it as a privilege that God has brought you here to do this incredible work of this ordination service. May God bless you here, and may you be free to do what the Spirit of God is sharing with you. And Dal, I don't know if you want to share something before Marcus. Are you sure? Okay, no pressure. Good to have you with
us. Thanks. Dal was going to sing a song, but... It's interesting how whenever you go, you know, to somewhere else, especially with a close relationship like this, you're expecting God to do great things. These guys up there did a great job. Looks like they're having a private meeting there as well. And already God in His grace is speaking to us through the gifts of the Spirit. I had two words for this morning, and I am going to share them, so I feel we should just allow God to minister to us through His prophetic. And the first one was this: whirlwind. Sally, I've missed your prophecies. I really felt that God is saying for Mark and Nikki, whirlwind. Mark and Nikki. No, for both of them. Yeah, whirlwind. It's the next season of your life is not going to be kind of step by step, you know, kind of walk into the future. There's going to be a whirlwind of events that'll land you up in this new season, and you're going to become familiar with that aspect of the move of God's Spirit, whirlwind. Of course, He does lead us step by step. We see Paul following very set patterns into what God has called him to, but whirlwind is going to define you and this eldership and the way that God's going to lead you into the future. And it's going to have all of that to it, where at times we don't even know what's going on, but yet we know He's in control. The second one was, I really felt for every single one of us, and I think for some more so, that one scripture that Jesus said, I don't break a bruised reed and I don't snuff out, a wick. The little embers. God is not in the job of doing that. He may speak to us harshly, and He may challenge us individually, and He may address some of the slackness in our lives. I feel He has. But He doesn't break a bruised reed, and He doesn't put those little embers out. Gently, by the power of His Spirit, He brings about a revival in our lives. And I want to encourage us to take hold of the opportunity that God gives us right now to do exactly that. We're sitting here today because we want to worship Him. We're sitting here today to support what God's doing in this local church family. And it is exciting news. It really is. This is not a normal Sunday. This is a day of celebrating. I was kind of just thinking this morning of the times in Israel's history when kings were ordained. It was exceptional. It was celebration of note. Especially David's day, everybody got blessed and everybody went to their homes full of excitement. And we need to understand that that's exactly what's taking place over here, is God is ministering to not, and it came across in our prayer meeting as the elders prayed, it's not just these two couples, it's us as a church are being ministered to in God's grace. And so in the process, there's a whirlwind that He's wanting to stir up, and there are wonderful ways in which He's wanting to reignite our spiritual passion. That issue of spiritual passion goes downhill quickly. You know why? Because tomorrow's Monday. And all the excitement and the vibe, and Arthur was using some amazing words out there. Arthur, amped stoked. What is the other one, Quinton? Pumped. You know, these things should be normal to Christianity. Normal Christianity, not exceptional Christianity, is being excited about our Lord. But we hit Monday, and some of us look at the News 24 news app, and then we see all the headlines, and another tsunami, another earthquake, another issue, more xenophobia, another crazy event like happened in Richards Bay with the school, and you know, the art, and we looked at it, we were appalled, we kind of thought, what is going on? These are not unusual signs. Don't get surprised. The whole book of Revelation teaches us that we're in a downward spiral. The affairs and the status quo of this world is going down. If you want to know the direction this world is, it's going down. And the systems of this world cannot be relied on at all. Not at all, because they are going to crash. Every single one of them, everything that we may put our trust and our kind of security in outside of kingdom is going to crash. And just hang in there faithfully, and it will eventually if you are. If today you put in your trust in finance, it's going to crash. If you put in your trust in politics, I'm prophesying, it's going to crash. You know, we prayed for Zim today in our prayer meeting. And just think of the status quo in Zim. You know, they had this brief little interlude of, yay, things are going to get better. And they've just systematically got worse. And you're looking at me as if to say, well, you know, come Lord Jesus, come. No, we got a job to do. We really have got a job to do. So part of the book of Revelation's encouragement is this. Consistently, this is the advice that heaven gives to earth. This calls for faithful persistence on the part of the saints. Comes up time and time again as events look absolutely hopeless. And it says, this calls for faithful persistence on the part of the saints. Now, that to me, if I was to attach an encouragement to Mark and Nikki, is exactly that, faithful persistence. Really, you guys know how to run the race long distance. And I want to encourage you with that. I want to encourage every one of us with that, is to faithfully persist with the things of the kingdom. Don't give up giving up. It's interesting, in Ephesians it says, when you've done everything to stand, it says, faint. No, it doesn't. It says, when you've done everything to stand, stand. And then in Galatians, it says, keep sowing. Keep sowing. Because in due season, you will reap. Then it says, comma, if you don't faint. In other words, the circumstances of this life are going to cause us to want to not stand, and they're going to cause us to want to faint. But God is looking for a people who are not hip hip hooray people. You know, it's just like about spiritual highs. There's a consistency, faithful persistence in being passionate about the things of this kingdom. And so today we take another step forward in this local church. Just stand up, those two couples, please, just where you are. Let's give God an applause for them. We really do thank God. And I tell you what, keep standing. I want to embarrass them a little bit. Is they are God's provision to this local church. They are, I don't know, 15 years in the making. Really. 15 years, I think of poor old Joseph. Gets called, and it took him all those series of events to get to the point where he moved into the fullness of the calling. And we thank God for his trophy of grace right here now with this couple. Let's give him a hand for that couple. Quinton and Renette. And Brandon. And Eloise. We just thank God for you guys as well. We kind of see, and I just was exposed to a little bit of your gifting over here. I love your passion. And we want to see that passion shape something of the future going forward. So let's give God an applause for these guys. It's awesome. You may take your seats. We'll call you up a little bit later. So we are going to focus on leadership this morning. Okay, so please turn in your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to read maybe three portions of scripture. I think it's good for us to understand the big picture of what God does in local church. I remember the Philippians church was a church that was planted through pain. Paul and Silas were sent to jail, and in jail they were beaten up and put in this inner kind of chamber. And we know in the inner chamber, bleeding, hands in stocks, you know, this is where serving the purposes of God get you. And their attitude was not give in, it was start to praise. And it is an awesome story because their praise reached heaven. And God in His mercy caused this earthquake to come about. There's a kind of African-American preacher who preaches on this. He said God was sitting in heaven on His throne, and kind of He heard this faint sound of worship coming. And as He heard it, he recognized the beat. And so excited was he to hear something from earth with a beat. He started to tap his foot. And then, of course, the earthquake took place. And, well, you could put those two stories together. Behind the scenes. And the jailer was panicking because he thought Paul and Silas were going to run away. And they said, no, he gets saved. His family get baptized, that whole household. And along with Lydia, the businesswoman, that church is planted. So this church has a very passionate place in Paul's heart. He loves his church. And so he writes to them in Philippians 1 verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. Don't you love him who probably occupied the highest position of authority in the local church? He introduces himself to the Philippians church as servant. We need more of those around. To all the saints of Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God in all my remembrance of you. If you thought back to the day that you got whipped and you were bleeding and you were in the middle of a, you know, this inner chamber and there was an earthquake and you almost died in that, you would remember it with a bit of pain and grief, but not for him. Because out of the pain and grief was born something beautiful. And that's the story of this church plant. Out of pain and grief and discomfort and inconvenience is born something that gives glory to God. And so as we look back, and as he looks back, he says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Wonderful 5-verse summary of Jesus said, I will build my church, and I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. The gates of hell will not resist. So the big question is, are we building the church Jesus is building, and will we let him build his church? That's the big thing. We see it in the book of Acts. Irrefutably, the Spirit of God is working through the disciples, and Jesus builds his church. Every single stronghold of whatever existed in that day could not stand against the church being built. And they say during those times of the emperors persecuting the church, and it was with murder, and it was with torture, and it was wild animals ripping their bodies apart, the church grew faster than at any other time. They say the blood of those martyrs became the seed of revival. And I thank God for that. An awesome, awesome picture of Jesus building his church. And today, God has a fresh opportunity through this local church and every local church on the planet to build his church. Will we let Jesus build his church? I feel the one precondition to all of this is, will we do it his way? You know, often we want him to build his church our way. We want him to build his church, but kind of we want to structure it our way. We want to kind of predefine it. We want to kind of give it definition. No, let's build it his way. And we have a 5-verse summary of local church. Firstly, in local church, this is what local church is made up of. Saints. That's how God defines every believer in the body of Christ. Now look around you, just quickly, just glance at a few others. You got to agree with me, they are not saints at all. I never saw one halo there. No, none of them glow in the dark. None of them are superheroes. It's amazing how that word saint has been so messed up by traditional church. But that is God's definition as he looks at the body of Christ. I love that about the Lord. He just sees such value in every single one. He doesn't see the value in, like, leaders are more important than others and these are more important than those. The value is on every one of us. The highest order of life in the body of Christ are believers. And the greatest thing that we can do as leaders is to see people being set free and to fulfill the ministry that every single one of them is called to. Today we celebrate the function of elder in the local church, but every function of every saint in this local church is important. Our identity is not in the function, our identity is in who we are in Christ. That is the important thing. Then he goes on to address the leadership, and he talks about the overseers or the elders, and he talks about deacons. Those are your two leadership officers in the local church, and they are designed to keep God's people free and to release life, to be obedient to him, to co-labor with the Holy Spirit in seeing this church built, and to take on everything he's called you to take on. And if we understand something of the prophetic future that he's got for this local church, you better buckle up your safety belt. Well, for some of you, it's time to jump out the airplane without a parachute and think about it later, because those are the kinds of adventures that are going to be necessary to get this gospel out. The gospel doesn't go out by our comfort. It goes out by the price that we're willing to pay to see this take place. It's Paul and Silas, you know, kind of challenging the status quo and seeing something of this kingdom established. It's Christ leaving heaven. It's us leaving wherever we are and challenging whatever it needs to be challenged. Another interesting thing about local church is this thing of every local church partners with servants. So Paul and Timothy introduce themselves as servants to this local church. So here's some of the models that existed before. Denominationally, you have a kind of general overseer, and you've got a head office, and you've got a general secretary, and you've got kind of authority. And when they visit your church, they audit your church. They check that you're compliant to the way the denomination does things. And if not, they write you a report, and you've got to kind of go and get retrained so that you can do it that way. But we understand life in the local church is every local church is led by elders with deacons. They are the highest authority in that local church. But they invite translocal gifts. Ephesians 4, apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist. What did I miss? Apostle. Oh, anyway, those five gifts, you can find them in Ephesians 4. So every church works with that team so that that church can come to maturity, full function, and it can achieve everything that God's called it to do. And so we invite into our churches, Adele and I fulfill that role. There's some others on team sitting over here today. Mark and Nikki are on that team. We fulfill that role. We come alongside local church. We ordain elders. And we trust God for the church to reach its full potential. Every single church has got blind spots. And when translocal gifts come in, they help us see some of those. Every single church has the, the propensity to kind of get lukewarm. And we need to be reminded that the only reason why we are gathered here today is for the sake of those that don't belong to the kingdom. We're the only organization in the world that gathers for those that don't belong to us. We are today for the sake of the lost. Right? I hope you understand that. We're sitting here today and we're gathering, we're worshiping for the sake of those that do not know Jesus. We are a biased people. Okay, South Africans are very familiar with bias. We see two types of people in the world today. They are saved and about to get saved. That's right. Most of us say saved and unsaved. No, everybody out there that's not saved has an opportunity to be saved. So we're in the business of seeing the lost come into the kingdom of God. And so we need translocal gifts that come in and open us up, mature us, help us understand the inheritance that is ours. And you know, right now, Great Lakes and many other regions, God has opened up to you. He's opened up the neighborhood to you. He's opened up the region to you. He's opened up the country to you. And he's got way more for you to do than you could ever imagine. Part of this whirlwind coming in is to unseat us and to show us the bigness of the inheritance that is ours in Jesus. And so translocal gifts come in. Notice some of the characteristics of translocal gifts. I just looking at that passage of scripture, they know you and they know what's going on. And you'll see that with Paul. He knows what's going on in the Corinthians church and he knows them. I love that. It's not an authority imposed, it's a relationship welcomed. It's a relationship that we have. And it's knowing that we are a church under authority. It's a lovely relationship. And that gift encourages. Paul encourages the Philippians. Okay, later on with the Corinthians, he says, you know what? You guys, your meetings do more harm than good. There's love. How would you like it if I said today, you guys, your meetings do more harm than good. Really. You need to wake up. What would you do? Get me in again in 15 years' time. Or just hope that I die in the process. But we need honesty, don't we? But I tell you, it comes with encouragement. He thanks God for the Philippians. There's this wonderful thing of somebody is there and he says that he prays for them with joy. I love that. Mark and Nikki pray for churches around the world with joy. Others are praying for you with joy. That's why we need this relationship. It's like when we're in our weakest spot, he still has our needs in mind because others are praying for us. So we need this relationship. It anchors us. Here's the thing, though. What is it all about? Verse 5, partnership in the gospel. That's what the company business, the family business is, partnership in the gospel. Every single one of us are called to be partners in the gospel. So if you want to know what it's about, what is NCMI about? What is Church on the Way about? What is Cornerstone about? What are these relationships about? Why are these couples coming onto eldership? Why are you sitting there? Why do we do children's ministry? Why are the guys at the sound desk? Why have we got a coffee shop? Why do we do whatever we do? Partnership in the gospel. And that one phrase, God is bringing back to center stage. It should be there. Paul has urged out partnership in the gospel. Peter goes and visits regions, partnership in the gospel. Mark and Nikki go to Great Lakes, partnership in the gospel. And so it should be with every one of us as we hit Monday and whatever context we find ourselves in, partnership in the gospel. Remember what Jesus said, come follow me to the disciples and I will make you comfortable. Yeah. Seeker-sensitive church is all about let's fill chairs. Are you comfortable? Are you okay there today? That chair's like a little hard, you've got to admit. What about a cushion? Maybe a little carpet in winter under your feet? That would help. I know churches that have got cushions and carpets. You know, God could be leading you to go to that church. That is the fickle way in which we judge where we should go next and what we should do. Instead of saying, is this a church that it's going to help me with my partnership in the gospel? We forgot the family business. You know that famous illustration of the lighthouse, of the life-saving station? It kind of one boat and a desire to see people saved. Eventually it becomes a clubhouse and they just polish their boats and varnish them all day because they're not interested in saving people anymore. They're interested in the clubhouse. They're interested in the vibe and the enjoyment of the clubhouse. No, we need to be challenged in our relationships, every single one of us, so that we can become partners in the gospel. Christ starts that way, and then in the end, in Matthew 28, he says to us, go make disciples of all nations, partnership in the gospel. So today, as a master craftsman, he's the potter, and he has clay on his wheel. What is he saying? Come follow me and I will make you. What is he making us into? Every single one of us into fishers of men. So in what stage of this process are you? You see, often by our attitude, we go and park off for a while. And like he's saying fisher of men, we're saying comfortable. We say fisher of men, we say, no, we want to do our own thing. He says fisher of men, we got some other idea. But he'll keep bringing us back. He'll keep breaking us. He'll keep slamming the clay down. He'll keep prodding it. He'll keep taking the stones out until he gets those who are fishers of men. Hearts broken for the lost. What a refreshing thing it is to hear. Mark said, take those little slips and you've just won the prize. We're going to pray for you that this week you share the gospel. Remember your testimony. I know mine. It was a year of prayer in a local church. My name was put into a little prayer book. And every Saturday they would pray. Isn't that amazing? People prayed for my salvation. And then very soon I forget even praying for other people's salvations. You know why? It becomes all about me. It's all about me. Am I comfortable? Is the chair good for me? Are they preaching the things I want to hear? No, our partnership is in the gospel. I want to encourage us with that. One more scripture, and then we're going to call those two couples up. 1 Peter chapter 5. This is verses 1 to 4. The passage on eldership. It's a challenging passage. It's an exciting passage. And we read it so that those who are coming onto eldership will understand. Bradley, Eloise, right? Quinton, Renette. I'm sure they're going to continue to read this into the future, as we all do. And then for the current eldership, where are they? All over the place. There. It's for you guys as well. He says, so I exhort the elders among you. Okay, so Peter in specifically in his letters, writing to them as well. As a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Shepherd the flock of God. What is an elder? An elder from the Old Testament was the wiser, older, more mature person, man, that would sit in the gates of the city. And whatever came in and whatever went out, he would guard. So he would guard coming in and going out. And he would also sit over the matters that needed to be decided. This inheritance belongs to you, that one belongs to you. So there was a sense of bringing God's justice, and there was the sense of protecting. So that's their job as elders. It's they're going to bring God's justice and they're going to protect this church. That's why we say when you join, come to the front. We want to celebrate. So you come in through the elders. And when you go, we don't want to give you the left boot of cheerio and we hope it works out for you. We want to lay hands on you and send you out into the inheritance that God has for you to plant or to go and join other churches to see something of your future worked out over there. Okay, so there we have shepherd the flock of God. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. That's quite a powerful statement, shepherd. Every single leader should have a love for people, a desire to see the best for people. You can't say I'm a leader and I don't love people, because God calls those that love people to be leaders. That's the prerequisite. If you want to know what qualification they need godly character and they need to love people. Every leader, if you're a prophet and you don't love people, you're going to cut people down. You'll be cavalier. If you're an evangelist and you don't love people, people become, you know, just another notch on your belt. You know, I've got another salvation. No, Jesus was moved with compassion. And we need people that love, leaders that love people. And we have great opportunity nowadays because people need love. You know, if there's one thing that is common to humanity at the moment across the planet is the amount of kind of neglect and loneliness and hopelessness and anxiety and fear and all of these kind of emotional things that grip people. You want to know why? Because nobody loves anymore. And we need our leaders to release love like wave after wave. Christ, in his harshest moment, is able to look at Peter and say, get behind me, Satan. But yet he never stopped loving Peter once. Isn't that amazing? I wonder if your leaders came to you today and said, "Get behind me, Satan," what would you do? Find another church, obviously. God's speaking to you to join another church. No, love means we're able to receive a rebuke and we're able to receive the care and attention from them. And then it says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. Let's just go there first. What is that, oversight? It's another function of an elder, is oversight. In other words, as far as the prophetic vision of this goes, they need to keep us on track. That's what we pray for. Lord, give them insight. One of the job descriptions of Mark and Nikki is visionary elders. In other words, we want to see the future that God has given us and we want to take hold of it. And so elders provide that oversight. We don't go to them and say, what is God saying to us? That's called fortune telling, right? We trust God that they're going to take this church from glory to glory in the right direction. We go to them and say, teach us to hear God the way you are hearing God. Amen? So pray for them that way. And then it says, not under compulsion. Okay, Quinton and Renette, did we make you do this? Nope, we've tried. But now finally it's the season of God. Right, Bradley and Eloise, did we make you guys do this? Not at all, it's not under compulsion. This is willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain. And that is a key issue because there are too many examples in the world of leaders taking advantage of the flock, of leaders, you know, kind of having a bribe with the sheep. Instead of loving them, they bribe them. That's not a good thing. Fleecing the sheep, whatever. God is looking for those that are going to willingly lay their lives down for the sheep. Eagerly. Not domineering over those in charge, in your charge, but being examples to the flock. That's important. Not domineering. Leaders are not a superior position. They're a function in the body. It's an important one. They go on ahead. They show us the way. They don't dominate. Fetch this, do that, go there, you know, hurry up, don't delay, whatever. That is not a biblical model of leadership. A kind of model of leadership is a Middle Eastern shepherd who goes before the flock. And then he says, exactly what it says in the last part over there, it says, being examples to the flock. Follow me as I follow Christ. So whatever I'm doing, I'm encouraging you to do the same. You want to know about marriage? Hang out with Mark and Nikki for a while. Right? Are they perfect? Well, Nikki just said no before Mark could even say a word. Okay, we get it, Nikki. We get it. They're not perfect. They know how to have a good fight, right? Come on, admit it. Come on, we do. But we know how to recover. We know how to love. We know how to go through life's difficulties, but we know how to come back to our relationship with God. Not perfection, just somebody who knows how to overcome. And so you want to know about kids? Speak to them. Speak to the elders of this church. Look at them. Follow the example that they set. That was Paul's biggest thing. You have many instructors. Many guys can get up on a platform and, you know, use their great oratory gift to talk great things. Lovely 6 points and whatever it is. But very few are fathers who want to live it out as an example to the flock to follow. Here's the thing. Are you guys imitatable as leaders? If this flock was to follow the example of the leaders, would that be disaster? Or would that be an incredible freedom? I want to say the same. If your kids follow your example as parents, what are they going to end up like? And you go, oh God, help us. Well, that's the issue, is we need you to help us so we can set the right example. And that's what God looks for in leaders. Not this ability behind a mic or, you know, you're strategic in your thinking. It's the ability to take the basics of Christianity and set an example for the flock to follow. And you say, this is how we do it. And they follow after us. Very important that. So, without further ado, I'd like to invite those two couples up onto the platform, please. Come and stand with me.
Yeah, go that side as well. Yeah.
Okay. Would the kids of the two couples being ordained like to come and stand with them, please? Thank you. Because believe it or not, you are the trophies that qualify them. Right? Yeah, there we go. Awesome. Let's give the kids a hand. Yeah. So as we know from Scripture, in a local church, elders are male, deacons are male or female, but to think that you're going to do this all on your own, Bradley, is a joke. God has blessed you with a wife, and we share together in this as a couple, right? And then we share together in it as a family. Isn't that cool? You've been eating blue stuff, bro. And that's the great thing about this is, you know, often the kind of thing was, oh, I never want to be an elder because look at PKs, pastors' kids. Now, I tell you, we've seen the exact reverse of it in our culture lately, where the PKs are the ones who are absolute heroes of the faith, right? Yes, Robin? You and your sister, eh? Yeah. Taryn and Robin sitting there as trophies of that. So we rejoice in that, and we rejoice in the fact that you're around mom and dad to help them and to spur them on. So I'm going to just share a prophetic word with each of you first, and then we're going to pray over you. This morning I was reading through Samuel, and I was reading about King Solomon, or just on King Saul, just before he was ordained by Samuel. And I kind of felt like, Quentin, that was for you. 1 Samuel 10, verses 9 and 10. When he turned his back to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart. You know, you blew me away that night we met. And, you know, another journey we've walked. It's been an incredible one. It really has. And you said, and Mark quoted again, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and all things will be added. And you said, that's it. My business serves the call of God. Quentin, I tell you, you've set yourself up for success in a big way. And I see an incredible heart, another heart. And all these signs came to pass that day. When they came to Gibeah, behold, a group of prophets met him. And the Spirit of God rushed upon him and prophesied among them. And he prophesied. I feel like that's kind of what's happened. It's like there's a whirlwind that's hit you. The Spirit of God is rushing on you as a couple, as a family. And God is going to give you some incredible prophetic insight. As you wait on him, as you kind of are leading this flock with confidence, you're going to get these things. But I feel not only here, but further afield as well. Just felt that with you. I felt, do not kind of say, you know, those were missed years. In any way, those were all valuable years to get Quentin and Renette to exactly where he has them right now. And I know you look like you've just been caught in the headlights, Renette, but he has the issue. Is God's going to take what's here and he's going to multiply in a big way. And I feel you're going to see many sons and daughters come through your hands in a big way. Then, Bradley and Eloise. God says, pack your bags for China now. No, I'm just joking. I'm always scared of those personal prophecies, aren't you? Yeah. So, from David's kind of summary of David's life, kind of you remind me of David. You really do. All this bubbling passion and enthusiasm. It says in Psalm 78, he chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the nursing ewes, he brought him to be, brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. Two things. With an upright heart, he shepherded them and guided them with skillful hands. Two things. Upright heart, skillful hands. Upright heart, skillful hands. And I believe this journey is going to be one. As you work with this team and you lead this amazing flock of people, is going to be a discovery of some of these skills. As we lay hands on both you guys now, both couples and families, gifts and anointings are imparted. And we know later on, Paul has to write to Timothy, because the battle's become heavy. Imagine sending your spiritual son to Ephesus, and a couple of years later, Timothy is stoned in the streets, and he basically sent his son to his death. And you know, often we think, oh, well, now your life's going to be miserable. No, it's not. This is going to be the most amazing journey that you've ever been on as a family. And you are going to discover skills that you never realized you had, that this church needs. That is the important thing. And whatever the call of God that is on you, those skills are going to be necessary for you. And so over you as a team, I really felt that this isn't kind of an eldership team now to serve the purposes of what God's doing here now. He's putting together his dream team for what's coming down the road. And I feel there's a few more going to be added, Mark. You can pray through that. And God is skilling you up for the future of what he has for this local eldership. So, with this in mind, I'm going to pray for them. But first, some questions, and then I'm going to invite the guys on team, and then all the elders of this church and their wives. So, we've asked them a whole lot of questions about character. Do they have skeletons in their cupboards? Boy, did we have a pile of skeletons to deal with. Bones everywhere. I'm just joking. We looked at their marriage. We looked at their finances. A whole lot of stuff. And so we're going to summarize it with these questions. Okay, so to you guys, do you believe that you've been called by God to be part of this eldership team that leads and cares for the flock at Church on the Way?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Smile at them and yes, we do. Will you serve them? Will you love them? Will you care for them, admonish them, correct and rebuke them, and encourage them in the fear of the Lord? Always. Yeah, that's good. Will you seek to honor the other ministries in town and elsewhere and promote and practice the unity of the Spirit commanded in the Scriptures? In other words, we're not alone. It's not Church on the Way and nothing else. It's we want to link in, we want to be a blessing. And I feel like God's made you elders in this church, but in the city as well. And then, will you set the flock a godly example for them to follow? We'll do our best. Yes, see. And then, will you pray for the flock, trusting God to lead them in His will? Wonderful. Isn't that cool? Let's give God an applause for them. Now, if you wouldn't mind standing, every one of us. And I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want to see them confident in your replies. Will you support, pray for, and obey these servants of God?
Yes.
Should we try it again? We'll rewind. Okay, will you support, pray for, and obey these servants of God?
Yes.
Yes, yes, I want to see it. Will you follow their example, submitting yourself to their eldership oversight?
Yes.
Okay, that's getting quieter. Will you seek to lighten their load by joyfully responding to and obeying them in the things of God?
Yes.
Wonderful. Will you bake them frequently chocolate cakes and wash their cars?
They know.
They know. You see, this is them being recognized by God, by Translocal team, by this eldership, and received by you as well. So I want to encourage you just as much as they're going to pray for you to pray for them and encourage them on the way. So could I have the elders of this local church and the team guys to come up, please? So it's through the laying on of hands that we set them in office. Oops. Thank you, Father. And so it is with joy and in obedience to Scriptures that we lay hands on these two couples, Bradley and Eloise and Quinton and Renette, along with their families, and we set them into this office of eldership. Thank you for the anointing, the gifts of ministry that comes with us, the grace. And we know as we do this, this is something that heaven does. You lay your hands on them, and in this awesome moment, you set them apart for this work in the local church, this work of ministry. And so we pray over them. We pray for protection. We pray for provision. We pray for wisdom, Lord, as they are both marketplace, that you'd show them how to set their time in order, how to give what they need to give, and that you would bless them in unusual ways, Lord, through their businesses. And we pray for unity and love in their families. And we pray that uniquely so, you would use them in this body as elders in ways that would surprise even them. So we commit them to you and we thank you for them in the name of Jesus, Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's give God an applause. Are there any, there we go.
Quinty and Renette, I'm praying for you and asking what the Lord on the Lord's heart for you. I felt that you were a Priscilla and Aquila. God used Priscilla and Aquila in an amazing way outside of just the local church. It was way beyond. And so I felt one of the things in Acts 18, when they'd been with Paul, they heard Apollo speaking. But what they did in the most kind way. He didn't understand about baptism. And they drew him into their home, and they explained the gospel more adequately to him. And I just see that in both your hearts. You have such a heart of hospitality, Renette, both of you. And you have such a way of being able to explain the truth in a way that is understandable. And so that, I feel, is one thing that God is going to use even more. The other thing is in Isaiah. I just feel like Isaiah 61 is so much for you. And there are a couple of things in there that I just want to bring up again. So the Spirit of the Lord is on you, and he's using you already, but he's going to be using you way more. And there are a couple of things there that I wanted to say, is that you will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. And it carries on to say, instead of your shame, you'll receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so your inheritance is a double portion in your land. And everlasting joy will be yours. And I feel like that God is sending you as a representative to the rest of the world, to the nations, as a couple who are both prophetic, apostolic, and very real in every way. But that the riches that you take to them, God in one way will bring back and bring back into this country and this nation of ours, and it'll be a double blessing in our country because of you.
Let me just say, it's very touching, because last night I went back to words that God had spoken over us in our calling. And I remember reading Isaiah 61, probably 1993, on one of my first business trips overseas, and God gave me Isaiah 61, and he's spoken that a number of times. And last night I read it again, and I said, Lord, confirm this today, because I know someone somehow is going to bring that. And Judy, you have no idea how much that means.
Thank you, Father. And for you, Bradley and Eloise, I have two words: covenant keepers. Covenant keepers. And I was reading this morning and how Jesus, just before he was to go to the cross, before he went to Gethsemane, he was in the upper room, and he gave them the cup and he said, this is the covenant in my blood. This is a covenant. And before he even went to the cross, he said, it's a covenant in my blood. So he knew God's destiny for him. And then they were in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he went to his Father and he said, you know, this thing that I've got to do is out way beyond me. It's massive. It's really difficult to deal with. Is there not another way? And knowing the destiny that God had for him, he kept the covenant. He knew the covenant that God had made with us was through him. And he kept his side of the covenant. And I just feel that you both are covenant keepers. You are covenant keepers. And God will enable you in whatever capacity you find yourself, in whatever difficulties you face. You will be covenant keepers. But keep your hearts before him, because the road does get rough. But don't get discouraged. You are covenant keepers because of who God is. And in his presence, he will enable you.
Quinton and Renette, just praying with you yesterday and during the week, and this morning as well. Just out of Judges 5, it says this, and this is Deborah's son, and it says this: Israel's leaders took charge, and the people gladly followed. Praise the Lord. But here's the thing: who came after Deborah? Gideon.
And as I've been praying into that, I think your life has been a bit like Gideon. You know, you've heard the call, but you haven't responded on it, eh? But finally you have. And I'm here this morning to make sure that hands were laid on you this morning, eh? And I think Marcus and Sally also mentioned this there, but then the Spirit of the Lord, this is Judges 6, and then the Spirit of the Lord took possession of Gideon and he blew the ram's horn and the call was made. But Gideon had this problem again. He didn't trust the call and he kept putting the fleece out. And that's what you've been doing. You've been putting the fleece out, eh? But finally, God has spoken. Eh? And just remember this, eh? And it's an encouragement for you with what God has for you in the future. Go read Gideon's story, eh? And say, God, speak to me, eh? Equip me, eh? Through what God did through Gideon, eh?
Sally, you want to share with us?
Quentin and Renette, over the last week, the Lord has shown me a vision of you running a hurdles race, and you were excelling at it. And I sense he's saying to you, you've trained and disciplined yourselves for this race and have been successful in selection. You have positioned yourself and been very intentional and have trained under difficult circumstances to perfect your running and leaping over hurdles of different and difficult proportions. And I'm commissioning you today to teach and lead the other members of this family to do likewise. You are a powerful leader, but have run your race very much alone, and today I'm creating a relay team where you will lead and share your skills for the enhancement of the body. Spread your bread on the water, and in due season it will return with multiplication. And for Brad and Louise. This morning, God gave me a vision of you as a Pied Piper, the Pied Piper of the body. And I believe he's saying to you both, you have a gift of enticing others to follow you. It is my gift in you, and it is invaluable in my body. You set people at ease, and yet, at the same time, you call them higher. As Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Your fun-loving and youthful attitude is attractive, but it does not end there. You get the job done. I am well pleased with you and will grow you and mature you into an insatiable force. You love unconditionally, and you do not let offense settle on you. You are a Pied Piper of heaven, and I have commissioned and chosen you to woo my treasured possession into the portals of heaven.
The Lord told us many years ago he will send a Pied Piper, so today is its fulfillment.
Thanks, Mark. I've actually got a word for each of you. I'll just give you the first one, Eloise and Bradley. It's just an orchid bloom that I cut off one of my plants this morning. And I just wanted to, it's actually a word that the Lord placed in my heart probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago as I just started thinking about the ordination, which I've been very excited about. But, you know, orchids are tricky plants. Ask Nikki. When a bloom or a flower starts growing, it emerges as a funny-looking pointy stem initially. And then it needs to be directed and supported up a stick to eventually look like it's going to have a bloom. What happens when I look at my orchid plants is I look at them every single day, because every day in the morning they have grown like a few millimeters and I'm stretching them up to actually make the flower. Eventually what actually happens is little round balls form on the stems, and then it takes forever for them to actually form a flower. Some of my orchids, the little balls started forming in May and they only flowered now in September. The little balls start growing day by day into something resembling a bud, and leaves start forming. And lo and behold, one morning you will wake up and the flower petals have opened, and the next day another, and after a few days the full glory is witnessed and enjoyed. Bradley and Eloise, I feel the Lord is saying, your time of growing slowly is over. the slow emerging into a beautiful bloom is over. Don't hold back to display all the Lord has placed in you. Display it to glorify Him and exalt His name. Use the preceding seasons of growth to now recognize that this is the due season. And I looked up the word due season, and in some translations says the good season and the timely season. Preceding seasons may have been hard, refining, shaping, and challenging, but now is the due season to emerge as blooms displaying His glory and His work. Amen. And then for Quentin and Renette, this morning I had to get Craig to work his very sore muscles early in the morning after the cycle. And what's in that bag is a little glass shot. Sorry for my back. I just need to look into their eyes. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 27 says, "One body, but many parts. One body, but it has many parts, all the many parts making up the body." And then in verse 18, "God has placed each part in the body just as He wanted it to be." And I feel the Lord saying, you are mosaic pieces, not puzzle pieces. Puzzle pieces are off the shelf. They are already factory printed with the picture. The puzzle shapes are cut out like cookie cutters, cutting, and pieces can only fit one way. They're cardboard or wood, and there's a final design to them. But the Lord says, Quentin and Renette, you are mosaic pieces, random shapes that fit together well. The artist actually designed the shape and the size and cutting the glass pieces to create the final piece. It is not off the shelf, and it is designed for the artist's desire. It's made of glass, and that is normally made under immense heat. The design is in the hand of the artist. Quentin and Renette, mosaic pieces, uniquely cut, shaped, and placed to bring value to the piece of art God is placing you into. Conformity and perfection is not what He is calling you to. He has cut you, He has shaped you, and He will glue you down just as He has made you, unique and beautiful in His design. As mosaic pieces are lying in a bowl, they don't look like much, rather just like pieces of off-cut glass. But when placed next to each other, the colors making a design, the beauty is shown. Into this team, to bring value, to add the design, and to complete the design, not puzzle pieces. Amen.
Thank you, Thora. I just sense to both of you that the Lord says to you, apart from Me, you can do nothing. And you, I know your marketplace and the market teaches you to perform and to produce results, but the Lord says produce fruit. And I just measure yourself. And you know, that's a temptation of all of us. We get out there and we try and put the business model back into His church. It doesn't work. We need to see His fruitfulness. So I just got some words for you, and then we're going to close. Let's hold that, sweetheart. Bradley and Eloise, I remember sitting in your lounge and knowing that God had actually called you all those years ago. And I just read, "This call has been on your lives for many years, and today it's the start of new beginnings. I sense the spirit of adventure, exploration, and pioneering in you. I do sense it has to do with much with preaching and spreading the gospel in the other nations." I just sense, God, it's not just here, it's in the nations of the earth. "And your ministry will take you to the nations. There'll be success in the nations." I just sense the Lord also just warning you, don't watch what men are going to be saying to you. Go and fulfill what He's called you to do. And my friend, I call him Quinty, Quentin and Renette. "Today's fulfillment of the Lord has spoke over you all those years ago. Remembering during that prayer time and fasting, I sense Acts 13, 1 to 4. They remember in the Louis Clay room. And I just remember the Lord never forgets what He's prophesied over you. I sense a hallmark of your ministry will be a sensitivity and obedience to the Holy Spirit. The dimensions of the Spirit He's taken you into that many have not experienced before. There will be a testimony of Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 19. I just sense, study those instructions that the Lord gave to the church, and there will be fulfillment of that. Amen.
Just to say, we're excited, we're stoked, we're just really, really blessed, and iron sharpens iron, and thank you for, yeah, we love you guys.
I'm sure there are more prophetic words. I don't want to hold you back, but please come and share them with them afterwards. And I really ask you, don't run out that door. Come and join us and celebrate in this time. And please come and congratulate them and give them a hug and tell them that you're going to be praying for them. We're a family in this process. So especially those that are visitors here today, really also don't run away to come and have a cappuccino and a meal with us today. We want to celebrate together. So I just want to close off in prayer. Father, we just thank you for what you have done here today. Lord, this is a start of something incredible as you've added another dimension of your church here today. And Lord, all of us are so excited where you're taking us. And as Marcus and Adele have encouraged us with this whirlwind that has been birthed and started even here now, Lord, give us the wisdom and the grace, Lord, to follow you and to do all that you've called us to do in your name now. So thank you for this time, Lord. Bless us as we continue this day together in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Marcus, Adele. Thank you, everyone. God bless you all. Amen. Well done, guys.
Little gift from Adele and I.